Today's daf is daf Tez Zion. Moshe, we left off yesterday. I think we can start from where we left off, and Yehuda will get the flow here. Sorry, I'll take it back. Today's daf is Tez Vav. I was looking ahead for tomorrow's. Okay, so the discussion that we're in the middle of here is we had a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. When you had a situation where Reuven had two wives, and one was a relation of his brother Shimon that precluded Shimon from doing Yibum, so our Mishnah said that not only is there no Yibum with Shimon, let's say Shimon's daughter, yes, not only is there no Yibum there, but there's no Yibum with a Tzara either, with a co-wife. And Beis Shammai, we learned, say that actually there is. They say only the forbidden relation herself, there's no Yibum, but the co-wife there is. So we were trying to, and then the Mishnah said this kind of funny thing that even though, according to Beis Hillel, if you did like Beis Shammai, you produced Mamzerim, and according to Beis Shammai, if you did like Beis Hillel, at least you are over in Yisrael Lam. Nevertheless, they still married girls from each other's families, and we're trying to understand what exactly does that mean. So the question was, is the pshat? So there's two ways of learning. Either it means that because Beis Shammai didn't actually do according to their psak, everybody did according to Beis Hillel, and therefore even though they had a theoretical argument, but in practice everyone was doing the same thing. Or the pshat is that they didn't do the same thing. Beis Shammai did according to their ruling, and Beis Hillel did according to their ruling, but they would tell each other when they came to make a shidduch, they would say, by the way, according to you, you should know that this girl comes from a family, or she was involved in a situation where, according to you, it would be no good. Yeah. And related to that was the whole question about Loisi Skodadu, whether they can actually do two different things and make it like two Torahs. We said, so we had different explanations on that can be if it's in different cities, etc. So we're still trying to get to the bottom of, did Beis Shammai actually do according to their shita, or was it just a theoretical argument?
If they ruled that way, or Beis Hillel, why wouldn't they do according to that? Why would they do something else?
Because, first of all, when you say, I'm using the word ruling, but it was really, if you have a theoretical argument, is one thing, but when you come down to a psak, you don't want every person to be paskening different. People have to, you have to make a decision, and then there has to be one Torah, not to have each person deciding to do something different. So that's the question. Did they all in practice do the same thing, or did they take the theory further and even in practice they didn't? So we're having all these discussions about it. We're actually up to Tosh Shema on Tesvav Amar Aleph. It's actually about 10 lines down. The line starts with the word Shalom, which is very nice.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so Tosh Shema, let's see if we can work out whether they actually did or not. The Amar Rab Tarfon. Now, Rab Tarfon is well known to be a Talmud of Beis Shammai, as we know from the first parak of Brachas. Good morning. As we know from the first parak of Brachas, that Rab Tarfon was the one who said he lay down to say Shema. Yeah, he tasted Atzmi when it was because he said B'shach Pachav Kumecha means you got to lie down, and he says I put myself in danger because of the robbers on the way, and they said to him, you deserve to be in danger because you did it according to Beis Shammai instead of Beis Hillel.
If I remember correctly, Mottl once said that Tarfon was the one who had a very bad, he was bad-mooded all the time. I'm not sure.
I don't know if he was bad-mooded or not, but I know that he did like Beis Shammai in Brachas. Anyway, so Rab Tarfon says, Ta'avni, so if we translate the word Ta'avni literally, it means I have a desire. Ta'iv is with a vav. But the word Tof Ayin base could also mean a desire, like Te'avon.
Yeah, but
Te'avon. Yeah, so I have a desire, an appetite. Masai Tov Vay Tzara Sabas Liyadi. When am I going to get a case where there is the tzara, the co-wife of a daughter? So Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven marries Shimon's daughter, and then Reuven dies. So Shimon now has the opportunity for Yibum with the co-wife, not his own daughter, the SN, and I'll marry her. So he was saying, oh, I wish I'd get a situation where I could do that. So that's implying that they did it. That they didn't just theoretically say you can do it, they actually went ahead and did it. So the Gemara says, maybe it doesn't mean Essa Ena, I will marry her, but Ema Asiena, I will let her marry somebody else. In other words, on the contrary, she will marry someone who's not the brother.
Keep going.
Like Beis Hillel say that she's allowed to marry someone else without Chalitza. That's what Reb Tarfon's saying I will do. For Edi Gemara, if that's what he meant, for Hata Evnik Omar, what sort of taiva is that? If he has a taiva to marry this girl, that's very nice. But to have a taiva that someone else should marry the girl doesn't quite follow, because why would he say the word, I have a big desire for it? My big desire is that someone else should marry her. Yeah, so that's what you're saying, Asiena. No, it was his brother, right? So if you say that he was saying, I want to have a chance to marry my brother's wife, then why is he a taiva? Maybe he, you know, because he's got to do it. He wants to marry her. Yeah, so then it makes sense. But if he says, my taiva is that someone else should marry her, one of the word taiva, you could say, I want a paskin that she'll marry. But to say, I have a taiva that someone else should marry her, doesn't seem right.
Why should he care?
So the Gemara says, no, lafukim rebeche menuri. He wanted to have a taiva to show that we don't go like Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. Yesterday we mentioned Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. Rabbi Yechon wanted to make a takana that even in the case, that even according to Beis Hillel, who say that she doesn't need chalitza, but let's make her do chalitza anyway, just to get out of any doubts. And there'll always be chalitza, so then it will be good according to everybody. The problem is that you take a girl who's not a chalitza and you turn her into a chalitza. Yeah, so Rabbi Tarfa wants to say, I hold so strongly like Beis Hillel that I can't wait to get a chance to prove that we're doing that and we're not listening to Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. So that could be what his tayoven was. Okay, so we don't prove from that whether they did according to their shita or not. So we try again. Toshima, come and listen to the next story. Maisa bebitoi she Rabban Gamliel. Shehoisa nesua la'aba ochiv. Rabban Gamliel had a brother called Abba, and he was married. Rabban Gamliel's daughter was married to his brother Abba. Umeis b'lei bonim. And then Abba died without any children, and so Rabban Gamliel was in a position of Yibum, and his brother Abba was married to his daughter, so he wasn't going to Yibum with his daughter, but his brother Abba had another wife who was not related to Rabban Gamliel. The Yibin Rabban Gamliel as Tarasa, and Rabban Gamliel did Yibum with the Tzara, with the other wife. So that seems to imply that they did, according to the Bishamai's Psak. Some people did. So the Gemara says, how can that make sense? V'tizbara, does that make any sense? Rabbi Gamliel, Miltamid of Bishamai, who? Rabbi Gamliel was an Enikul of Hillel. Yeah? So it doesn't make any sense. Rabbi Gamliel would do like Bishamai. Even if the Talmid of Bishamai did like Bishamai's Shita, there's no way in the world Rabbi Gamliel would have done according to Bishamai. Ella. What happened over here was, it was a different story. It wasn't because of the shita of Beis Shammai who say that Tzoras Abbas is mutter. It was Shaini Bitash Rabban Gamliel, the island of Sav. It's a whole different story. Rabban Gamliel's daughter turned out she was infertile. And we learned in our very first Mishnah that if the Erva turns out to be an islandess, she's infertile, that means she was, the marriage to the brother was on shaky grounds, either a Mekatos and Gansen or not a real marriage, and therefore the Tzara is mutter. Yeah? So over here, Rabbi Gamliel's daughter, who was married to his brother, was infertile, and therefore the marriage to his brother was not a real marriage, and that's why Rabbi Gamliel was able to marry the co-wife. Freddy Gemara, that's how you're learning pshat, that it was that she was infertile. Amida Katani Seifa, but the next part of this price is that Acherim Meimrim Bitos Rabbi Gamliel Laila Nesoisa. Other people say that the story was that his daughter was an islandess, was infertile. Is if other people say that, and they're arguing with the first people, is Miklada Tanakama Sava Lam Islandess Hoysa. So that means that Tanakama is saying that she wasn't an islandess. Otherwise, what are they arguing about? You can't have two people arguing who are both saying the same thing. Unless they're very, very stubborn, then they argue with the same thing. But generally, if two people are arguing, then it means they're saying different. As if Acherim saying that she was an islandess, it seems that the Tanakama must be saying she was not an islandess. So the Gemara says no. Everybody agrees that she was an islandess. What's there for the? So then what's the difference between the Tana Kama and Acherim? And says the Gemara, their argument will be on whether it has to be that she was an islandess before he knew about she was an islandess, before she didn't, or he didn't know she was an islandess. We learned before a difference of opinion. We already had such a machlokes. Yeah, when we say that a tsaras islandess is mutter, yeah, that means Reuben had two wives. One was infertile, which was the daughter of Shimon. The other one was not the daughter of Shimon. That you can do yibum, that Shimon can do yibum with the other wife. So why is it so? So one way of looking at it is because he didn't know she was an islandess when they got married, because you don't always know. A woman's incapable of having children, they only found out later. That means when he married her in the first place, it was a mekachtos. He didn't really want to marry someone who can't have children, and therefore the whole marriage is like null and void from the first place. Because if he would have known she was infertile, he wouldn't have gone with her. Right? So therefore, since she's not really married to Reuven, then the other person is not really, the other woman is not really her tzara. So there's no problem of yibum. So that's one way of looking at it. So that would be loy hikirba. He didn't know about that she was infertile when they got married. And the other opinion is that even hikirba, even if he did know, if you look in our Mishnah, it doesn't say, I use the word nimtzu, it depends on how you look at it. But the other opinion is that even if he knew she was an islandess, and he went ahead and married her anyway, he knew she was infertile, but he was in love, so he married her. Yeah? That is enough. The fact that she's an islander still makes the tzara permitted to do yibum, according to that opinion. And that is going to be the difference between the Tana Kama and Acherim. So they don't argue that Rabbi Gamliel's daughter was an islander. The question was she an islander and he knew about it before, or was she an islander which he only found out about later? So that's one way of looking at the difference between the Tana Kama and the Acherim. The boy Seima, or another possibility is, so again, we had another machlokes which we mentioned before when we talked about tzaras islandess. Is the pshat, or let's say, we said in our Mishnah, in the first Mishnah, that Reuben had two wives, one was Shimon's daughter. Is if he divorced Shimon's daughter, then Shimon can do yibum with the other wife? Yeah. The question was, when did he divorce her? Is the pshat that he divorced her before he married the other woman, and therefore they were never co-wives with each other, because by the time the other woman married Reuven, Shimon's wife was already divorced, Shimon's daughter was already divorced? Or is it even if they were wives at the same time of Reuven, but as long as she was divorced before the yibum opportunity arose, Shimon can do the yibum with the other woman? So that's a machlekes. So we're saying that is the machlekes over here. Kanas l'sev kivish means he married the second wife. So in other words, he's divorced Rabbi Gamliel's daughter, yeah, and therefore it's garshu. But the question was she divorced before he married the other wife or not? Yeah, so that's the question. Do we, if we say that even if she was divorced afterwards, that still allows yibum to happen, then he doesn't need to say it's an islandess. It could be a different period. So according to the Tana Kama, we can say that she was divorced, not an islandess, because our Mishnah throws in a category of islandess and divorced and Mion all together in the first Mishnah, if you remember. Yeah. So that is the second way of looking at it. And the third way is Iboy Sema Yeshnaba Biyaikibinayu. Is there, it's nice, so what happens if a person had a tnai in the marriage? So what happened was there was a, when he married this daughter, there was a condition, and the condition wasn't fulfilled. Yeah. So does that mean that the marriage is null and void? So generally, yes, everyone agrees. A person gives the ring, says a reyat mekudeshesli almanas, on condition that you make nice chocolate biscuits, yeah? So if she doesn't do the chocolate biscuits, the marriage is null and void, yeah? So the machlokes is, what about if it's not kiddushe kesef? What about if it's kiddushe bio? So then it's a machlokes. In fact, let's say a Rashi. I don't even have time to do all the Rashis, but I feel bad that we didn't do any Rashis. Let's do the Rashi just on that one, yesh naiva bio, just on the side, yeah? Just on the side of where we are, yesh, a little bit, maybe one line above. The Rashi Yesh Tanai Babia. What's the pshat? Hakoinis Isha Al Tanai. Someone marries a woman and there's a condition attached. What's the condition? She'ena leha mumin. The condition could be that she has no blemishes. Yeah, so he doesn't necessarily see all of her because before the marriage she's wearing a burqa, and he only finds out later that she might have a mum. So he says, I'm married on condition that you don't have a mum. If I find later that you got a mum, then the marriage doesn't count. Or I'm marrying you on condition that you haven't got any vows that you've made beforehand that I don't know about, where you might be, you know, you promised you're not going to make chocolate biscuits, yeah? So any kind of condition he makes, the nimtza sheyesh aleha, and it turns out the condition was not fulfilled because she did have mumin or she did have nedarim, is latana kama mahani tanoi. So the Tana Kama over here is saying that this condition takes effect, v'hava mekach tos, and therefore the marriage is null and void because she didn't fulfill the condition, or the condition is not didn't happen, and therefore it's null and void. And so therefore, what was the situation over here with Rabbi Gamliel? V'tznai hayo le'achiv shur Rabbi Gamliel bebitoy. Rabbi Gamliel's brother, when he married Rabbi Gamliel's daughter, had a condition. And the condition was not fulfilled. Therefore, they paskined that it's not, that because the condition wasn't fulfilled, she was a mekach tos. That means even from the first place, she was never really married. It was null and void from the beginning. She was never married to Reuven, to Rabbi Gamliel's brother. It's a rasa muteris, and therefore the Torah can do yib. That is the first Tana. And the Acherim, who bring in the idea of an islandess, so they hold that this thing about a Tznai wouldn't help. Why not? Acherim, sorry, there ain't Tznai a moyel bebiya. If they had relations, then the Tznai is sort of cancelled. Why? The kivin, the boil, once he consummated the marriage, that proves that achuli ochel. That proves he was moichel on the Tznai. If he has the chuppah and the ring and the photos, and he says, it's all a Tznai. Okay, so you give him a chance to find out whether the Tznai is true or not. And then, if it turns out that she didn't fulfill, then he's off. But if he goes to the extent of consummating the marriage with intimacy, yeah, then that shows that he doesn't care about the Tznai anymore. Because otherwise he would have checked it out before he went so far. Yeah? That's what he says. Kieran de Botil, if he had intimacy, is a chuli yachil, he must have been moichel on a tznai. He must have been cancelled at tznai. Ked amrina v'ksubas amader, ein adam oisa bilasa bilas nus. A guy doesn't go and have relations and still knowing that, it might be null and void and I'm not really married to her. A person doesn't put himself in a position where he's going to have an out-of-marriage intimacy without finding out. Ella, so therefore, if that's the case, we can't say that we're talking about a situation where the marriage to Rabbi Gamliel's daughter was null and void because it was a tznai. Ella, mishum da'alinus haisa. What it was is that they worked out after a while that she was infertile. So that you can't tell so quickly. So there, that means that the marriage didn't really count, and therefore Rabbi Gamliel could do yibum with the other wife. Okay, so the upshot of all of that is that we cannot prove whether anybody did like Beshamai. Certainly Rabbi Gamliel could not have done like Beshamai because he was a grandson of Hillel. So we go further. Mosiv Rav Misharshi, back in the Gemara, yeah? Mosiv Rav Misharshi. Rav Misharshi now asks a question. We have yet another brisa that says, Maisib Rabbi Akiva, there was a story with Rabbi Akiva, Shalikate Esrig Be'echad Bishvat. He was way ahead of Mulek, and he collected the Esrogim when? On the first of Shvat. Now we know in Gemara Rosh Hashanah, there's a machloikis when is Rosh Hashanah le'ilonis. So we all know, Tu Bishvat Higi, Achag Ha'ilonot. But Besham, I say, Echad Bishvat Higi, Achag Ha'ilonot. Yeah? So there's a machloikis between Besham and Bes Hillel. When is Rosh Hashanah le'ilonis? What's the difference? When is the new year for trees? What the trees have to sing the Sana Tekef? What do the trees do on a Rosh Hashanah? The difference is, what sort of meiser do you take? Because we know that they have meiser rishon, which you give to a Levi, and then in the first and second and fourth and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, you have to do meiser sheni, which is that's holy, and you take it up to Yerushalayim and eat it there, or you can redeem it and you spend the money in Yerushalayim, etc. Meiser sheni. In the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle is meiser oni. Instead of doing meiser sheni, you do meiser oni, where you give it to the poor. So therefore, you have to know which year you're in when you pick the Esrig. If you pick the Esrig, let's say it was the end of the second year, hand over to the third year. As if you picked it at the end of the second year, you have to take Maaser Sheni. If you picked it at the beginning of the third year, you have to do Maaser Oni. And so Rabbi Akiva picked an Esrig, and it was the first of Shvat. So according to Beis Shammai, he was in year three, and he had to give it to the Oni, to Maaser to the Oni. According to Beis Hillel, he was still in year two, so he would have to take Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim. So what did Rabbi Akiva do? Nohag boy Beis Yisurin. He did both. He was this machmir on himself, and he did both. Echad k'divrei Beis Shammai, v'echad k'divrei Beis Hillel. He took Maaser Oni like Beis Shammai and Maaser Sheni like Beis Hillel. Shma mina asu. So we learn from this that people did do like Beis Shammai. It wasn't a blanket thing that no one ever did like Beis Shammai. So the Gemara says, no, it's not the pshat that Rabbi Akiva did like Beis Shammai, because whether you hold of the baskol or not the baskol, or that it's because they decided that we always go according to Beis Shammai, Makam Beis Hillel, and a Mishnah. Yeah, so it's not that Rabbi Akiva did like Beis Shammai. Is a bazoi, what's Rabbi Akiva doing taking two maisers? Because Rabbi Akiva, Gemara is topically. Rabbi Akiva wasn't sure. He got mixed up in the nusach. It's pretty strange to say that. I suppose Rabbi Akiva is allowed to get mixed up in the machlokes because he didn't have the Mishnah ready. Yeah, because generally in a Meira, you couldn't say an Meira got mixed up in a Mishnah, because everybody had to know the Mishnah is klar. But at the time of Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah wasn't put together yet. So he just wasn't sure who said what. Yeah, he didn't know which one Beis Hillel said. He knew there was a machlekes of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel.
He wasn't mixed up, he just didn't know.
He didn't know which one was which. And therefore he did both, just in case Beis Hillel said second or third. Okay, so that was Rabbi Akiva. Next one, Masiv Mar Zutra. Mar Zutra had another story. Maisiv Yolda Kalosi Shal Shammai Hazokain. Shammai Hazokain's daughter-in-law had a baby, which means it was Shammai's grandson. A new baby, right before Sukkos. So he took out some of the roof in the nursery. And he put schach on top of that opening for this child. I mean, the child was old enough to eat. Or maybe he thought he had to sleep in the sukkah. I don't know. Either way. What? So he made a sukkah for the child. Now what's the story with the sukkah for the child over here? Because we had a machlokes, is a child obligated to eat in the sukkah? Yeah. So generally the din is, the Gemara says in sukkah, I think in Daftan Beis or somewhere, that when a child is at the age of chinuch, when he's old enough to understand, so you teach him and he's to eat in the sukkah, it's an obligation on his father to teach him to eat in the sukkah. So it's like midrabon and he has to eat in the sukkah. Yeah. What about a child who's a baby who doesn't understand what's going on? So then there's no chinuch involved. You're not teaching him anything. You're just sticking him in the right place at the right time, as they used to say. Yeah. So what's chinuch? So therefore, you know, so a cotton. What? So the definition of a cotton shaloyi gila chinuch is sorry, chleima. He's still with the mother. Is does not mechuyev in sukkah. But Shammai said that he is. Shammai said as soon as the baby is born, you have to train mitzvahs, so they have to make a sukkah for the baby to be in. So they, and what happened? They did it. Ishma mina asu. So we see that they did it. We see that Shammai did according to his psukim. This lechayr is a pretty strange story, because the whole idea was, the question was that after they decided that Beis Shammai b'makom Beis Hillel and Mishnah, did they do like Beis Shammai? Shammai hazokein lechayr was before Beis Shammai, right? I mean, he was the founder of Beis Shammai. So whether he did, the fact that he did something like his his thing is a bit strange to try to bring a proof that that Beis Shammai later on still did according to his psukim. Anyway, so the Gemara says anyway it's no problem, it's no proof, because Hossam, what was the whole thing? Again, if we get back to the question of Loisis Goydadu, to do like Beis Shammai, B'mokim Beis Hillel, we didn't want anyone to do because it looks like you have two Torahs. Yeah? We're all following Beis Hillel, you don't go and follow Beis Shammai because it looks like you're a different religion. Yeah? So when is that a problem when it looks like you're a different religion? But if someone sees it and it doesn't look like you're sort of being a renegade, then it's okay. So what would happen over here? If he pokes a hole in the roof and puts a bit of Muluk Schachla Netzach on there, his Hassam Haroya Omer Lafushi Avikovit. He'll think he's making a skylight. He wants more air in the room. The room is stuffy. So he decided to renovate the house. And he opened up a skylight and he put a bit of schach there to protect from the bugs. And that's it. So he wouldn't say, oh, he's doing like Bishamay against Bes Hillel. You know, machlokes, yay. Like some people want to do. People will think that's just how he wanted to have his house. So in that case, they would do it. The question was the two questions are intertwined. Why would Beis Shammai do like Beis Hillel if they don't like Beis Hillel? Because the answer is, Lazy Skoda do. They don't want to make it a separate Torah. And even though they had one opinion, but if the decision was like the other, they accepted the decision. We have to keep one Torah. Okay, next story. There was a trough which had a name. They gave it a name. In Yerushalayim, everything has a name. The trough of Yehu, which was out there. The trough of Yehu was connected out to the water outside Yerushalayim. I don't know exactly where this was. I presume it was somewhere near Mount Shiloh, because there's not too much water around outside Yerushalayim. So they had a trough there. The water was flowing in. Rashi says it was water flowing down from the mountain, and they had a pipe. They had a snowy river pipeline coming down from the mountain, and they called that trough Shokas Yehu. Now, you cannot tovel in such a thing. First of all, it's flowing. But secondly, it wasn't 40 saw in one place, because it's like shallow. It's not 40 saw. So what happened? But it had a hole connecting it to a mikveh. So we know that if you have a mikveh connected to a water supply, then that's good enough. So you had a mikveh 40 saw connected to a water supply that hasn't got 40 saw. You can tovel in the other water supply because it's considered part of the mikveh if it's connected. The question is, how big does that connection have to be? So you have a hole between two mikvehs, let's say. How big does the hole have to be that you could say it's mixed, it's one, you count it as one or not? So what happened? There was this Sheikh Seyu had a hole connecting it to a mikveh. The chol tarish shahayu b'shalayim nasu agabo. That was the Kalim mikveh. Everybody toveled the Kalim in that mikveh. Yeah, now this toveling we're talking about is for Tumah and Tara, not for you bought a new one from Myers, yeah? So everybody did it, and that everybody was using that mikveh. V'sholchu Beis Shammai v'hirch yivuha. And Beis Shammai didn't like it because they said the hole was too small, and they made the hole bigger. Because it's a machlik, it's how big is a hole have to be? Beis Shammai omrim acha tipaches beruba. Beis Shammai say, when is the hole big enough? If most of the border between the two bodies of water is open. Yeah? So you have a shekis over here and a mikveh over here. Most of it has to be open. Then it's considered one thing. If not, it's not. That's only Beis Shammai though. It's not within the Mishnah. Eruv mikvois, if you want to mix two mikvois together to count them as one, is kishfeferis hanoid. The size of the hole to join them is like the sort of like a pipe cleaner that you stick into a flask, yeah? So it's quite thin. Be'ovya uvechalala. That means including the thickness of the shveferis. It's a tube, yeah? The tube that you stick in, so it includes not just the inside of the tube, but the tube itself also. That's the size. Which is gishteya spois, which comes out to be like this width of two fingers, which you can bring out. So it's not wedged in so that you can't move them, but a little bit more than two fingers so you can stick them in and take them out again. Yeah? So that is the minimum size, so that's what obviously according to Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai say, no, it has to be, most of the thing has to be open. So there we see that Beis Shammai widened it. So they didn't listen to Beis Hillel and they did their own thing. Ishma mina osu, from that we learn Beis Shammai did according to themselves, not according to Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, again, that's not a raya, because there it wouldn't look like Lois is going to do. We're only asking about cases where it looks like you're making a two Torahs. Why wasn't it looking like that over there? Hossam, haroya omer, someone who sees them widening the hole will think, lafushimayahu to cover. He just wants to improve the water flow. Yeah, he wants to get more water into that shokas so he can toivel better. And he won't say, oh, it's because he doesn't hold of Beis Hillel's mikveh. Yeah? So therefore it looks, therefore that doesn't prove anything. Next one. Tashuma, how we doing? 10:15. Tashuma, the Amr Rabbi Lazar Rab Sadiq. Rabbi Lazar Rab Sadiq says, Kisha Yisi Laima Torah Eitzer Rabbi Yechanan HaChurni, when I was a student learning Torah with Rabbi Yechanan HaChurni, Reisi Shaya Eichel Pascha Reva B'melech B'shtevet Tzairis, I saw that he was eating dried bread with salt in a year of famine. In other words, he didn't have what to eat. So I saw that he was very, had a very poor diet. He only had a bit of a little piece of dry bread. Is bossy vaidati esaba. I went and told my father. So this is Rabbi Lazar Rab Tzadik talking. So his father is Rab Tzadik. He went and told Rab Tzadik that he hasn't got anything to eat. He's got a little piece of dry bread. That's his whole sustenance. Is Amali. So he told me, holich le zesim. Take him these olives to eat. Give him a bit of more to eat. Vehelachti loy. I took him a bowl of olives, and he saw that they were wet. Now, if fruit becomes wet, that means it's mukhshar lekabel tumah. And it was sitting in a container that was potentially tumah. It was a stam container, which might have been in contact with an amoritz or whatever. So Rabbi Yechon HaChurni didn't want to eat it because he said, I'm not eating the olives because they're mukhshar lekabel tumah, because they're wet, and they're sitting in a container that could be a stam container from maybe it's an amoritz, it could be tomei, and therefore they became tomei. Maybe it touched the barrel. Maybe it touched the barrel of the amoritz, and it's tomei. It's bossy vahidati yasaba. So I went and told my father of Tzaddik that Rabbi Yechon HaChurni doesn't want to eat your olives because he says that they're, but maybe it's a sophic, maybe they're tomei. Is Amali, he told him, Lecha mor lo. So he told me, says Rabbi Lazar, Lecha mor lo, go and tell Rabbi Yechon on Chavis Nakuva Haisa, Elashtas Tamuha Shvarim, that the barrel had a hole in it, but it was only blocked out by the sediment. What on earth does that have to do with anything? Because when is liquids being machshir lekabel tumah? When you want it to be get wet. If it gets wet, v'chiyutan v'karinan v'chiyitain, right? That it has to be that it gets water on it in such a way that you're happy that water got on it, as if you had put it there yourself. What happens if it gets wet and you didn't want it to get wet? That is not machshir the fruits to become lekabel tumah. So with the olives, if it was in a sealed bowl, and you stuck the olives in, and bits of muhal, olive juice, whatever you call it, came out. The fact that you put it in a sealed bowl means you wanted that the juice should come out, and it'll be juicy in there. Yeah? And then it would be mukhshar lekabel tumah. But if you put it in a hold container, a strainer or whatever, why did you put it in such a strainer? Because you want the juice to go out. You don't want the olives to be sitting in the juice. That means that you don't want it to get wet. So he says it was a holy barrel. It had holes in it. And that means that I didn't want it to get wet. And it wasn't intentional. It was against my will. And therefore, it's not machshir lekabel tumah. He looked at it. He didn't see any holes. He says it was blocked up by sediment. Yeah, but that doesn't take away the fact that I didn't want it to get wet. And therefore, it's whoever it was doing it. And therefore, it's not machshir lekabel tumah. But not as we learned in the Mishnah, a chavis shel zeisim megulgalim. You have a barrel, which means of olives, which are megulgalim, means squashed together. And when they're squashed together, that's when the liquid starts coming out. Yeah, is Beishamai emrim ein tzricha lenakev. Beishamai says that you don't need to make a hole in it because even if the juice will come out, it's not machshir lekabel tumah. Well, because it's made peiris, so there are seven liquids that are machshir lekabel tumah, and fruit juice ain't one of them. Right, it's a yod shachat dom, which is wine and blood and oil and milk and dew and honey and water. Right, those are the seven liquids. But fruit juice is not. So Beshamai say it's fruit juice, olive juice, and therefore you don't need to make a hole. It's anyway not machshir lekabel tumah. Ubeisilah levin tzrich lenakev, and Beisilah say you do. Because he says it's olive juice is almost like oil. One of the seven is oil. Olive juice, olive oil, super extra virgin as you buy in the supermarket. So he says you can't, no tricks with the olive juice. And therefore, Beis Hillel will say, you do need to make that hole to show that you're not wanting it, and therefore it's not machshir lekabel tumah. Umoidzi, but everybody agrees. So im nikva, even Beisilul agrees that if you made the hole vistamu or shmorim and it just got blocked up because sediments blocked up the holes, shehi tahira, that it's tahir. The afal pisha talmud shamay haya, even though this Rabbi Yochanan, who we're talking about, was a student of shamay. So that the so therefore, what are we trying to show from all this? But he wanted to do like Beisilul. According to shamay, you don't need a hole. Yeah, and he saw that there was no hole, and he said, "No, I'm not eating it." Why? Because he held like he was doing like Beisilul, even though he was a Talmud of Shammai, Kol Ma'asav Lo Yoseh Ela Kedibur Beisilul. He did everything according to Beisilul. Yeah, so that was the story of Rabbi Yochanan Hachurni, that even though he was a Talmud of Shammai, he did everything according to Beisilul. So what does that prove? Says the Gemara, "Iyamarta Bishlama Asu." If in general the Talmud of Beis Shammai did according to Beis Shammai, Hanu Rebusei. That's why it tells you that this guy Rabbi Yochanan Ben Chorni was special. That even though he was a Talmud of Shammai, he did like Beis Hillel. Ela Iyamarta Lo Yasu. But if nobody did like Beis Shammai, is my Rebusei. What's the special story about him? Everybody did like Beis Hillel. Yeah? So he's trying to. So from this, the Gemara doesn't upshlog this. So. This is to be proof number one that that in general they did do like Beis Shammai. Gemara says, 1 minute Toshama, let's try another proof. Shalos Rabbi Yeshua, they asked Rabbi Yeshua. This is the Rabbi Yeshua Bechananya, the Rabbi Yeshua. They asked him, Sara Sabas Mahu. They asked him to Paskin, what's the din? Yeah, if Reuven had two wives and one was Shimon's daughter and then he died, can Shimon do Yibum with the other one? Is Amalahem, so he says to them, you're asking me this question. Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Everyone knows it's a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So they asked him, yeah, we know that, but halacha kedivrei mi, who are we pastoring like? Amar lahem, Rabbi Yeshua says to them, mipnei ma'ata machnisim roishi ben shnei horim gedolim. Why are you sticking my head in between two big mountains? They're going to get scrunched. My head will get scrunched in between those two mountains. You want me to mix into an argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Ben shtei machlokes gedolos between the two big arguments between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Misyorei ani shema yerutzu gulgalti. I'm scared they'll smash my skull in. I don't want to get stuck in between a fight between those two. Aval ani mei lechem. I'll just tell you one piece of edus. I'll testify to you about something that I saw. There were two big families in Jerusalem. Mishpachas based Tzavuim mi ben Achmai, that was one family, and Mishpachas based Kupai mi ben Mekoshesh, which was another family. Shehem b'nei Tzoros, that they descended from a case of a Tzora who married who did Yibum, which was like Beis Shammai. Umehem koyanim gedolim mishim shogav mizbeach, and from them were koyanim gedolim who served on the mizbeach. Yeah. That was a story from Yeshua. Says the Gemara, if people did like Beis Shammai, hanu d'ka'amar misyori ani. Therefore, I would be scared to say anything else. What do you mean anything else? I'd be scared to say like Beis Hillel. Because according to Beis Hillel, people who did like Beis Shammai have produced what? Mamzerim. So I'm not getting up there and announcing that all those people over there are Mamzerim. Oh, I'm going to start World War III over here. I'm not interested. But if nobody did like Beis Shammai anyhow, is a Maikam or Misyarani? What was he scared of? No one actually did it. It was a theoretical thing. So he could pass like Beis Hillel and finish. And he's not going to make anybody break it because there's no one, he's not accusing anyone of being a mamzer anyway. So that's what Rabbi Yeshua, that seems to prove that they did, and that's why he was scared. So the Gemara says, just a minute. Even if they did do like Beis Shammai, my Misyarani, what was he scared of? Rabbi Shua himself, same guy, Rabbi Shua himself says you don't get a mamzer unless the forbidden relationship is a chi of misa. Yeah? So Eish Esach is not a chi of misa, it's a chi of kares. So it's according to Rabbi Shua, even those people who did like Beis Shammai, the kids are not mamzerim. So nothing to be scared of. Even if he told the people who did like Beis Shammai that the halach is like Beis Hillel, but Rabbi Shua's shita is that those kids wouldn't be mamzerim anyway. So what's he scared of? So the Gemara says, Nehinami the Mamzalai Hava, even though he's not calling them a Mamzer, Abar Pogum Yahava, but he's calling them they are blemished, they are pogum, they wouldn't be able to marry a Kohen if they're girls. So they're not Mamzerim. So it means you can insult somebody without calling him a Mamzer. You can find other insults, yeah? So I don't want to mix in. How do I know he's pogum? Pogum means can't marry a Kohen, yeah? How do I know the daughter of such a relationship cannot marry a Kohen? Mikava Chaymer me Almona. I learn a Kava Chaymer from an Almona who married a Kohen Gadol. Ma Almona. What do we see by an Almona who married a Kohen Gadol? She'eini Sura Noya Bakoil. Her forbiddenness does not apply to everybody. It's only a Kohen Gadol. There's only one person in the world she can't marry. Is nevertheless, when she did, is Benah Pogum. Her child is a Cholol. Not only, he's not a Mamzer, but he's not a Kohen either. He's Ois Kohen. Yeah? Izu, so this woman who's the Tzoras Habas, she is Surah Shava Bakur, that applies to everyone. Yeah, so therefore, for sure, the child is Pogup. So even though he's not a Mamzer, he can't be a Kohen. Yeah, so that itself is a good enough insult. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says. Gemara said, one second, what happened over here? Kabal Menei Tzoras, they asked him, what's the din? The question was, Tzoras Habas Mahu. And what was his answer? His answer starts talking about mamzerim, it's pegumim, and whatever. He's worrying about the kids. They didn't ask about the kids. They asked him about, can you do... The question was about the yibum itself. Why doesn't he answer the question originally? Tzoras Habas Mahu. Why does he go straight to talking about the kids? So the Gemara says, Tartik Abominei, they asked him both questions. The first question was, Tzoras Mai, what's the din? Can you do yibum with that tzora? That you cannot do Yibum and she marries someone else. What about Bnei Tzoros de Beis Hillel le Beis Shammai Mahu? So here we're talking about the other way around. According to Beis Hillel, this woman does not need Chalitza and she can go and marry someone else. According to Beis Shammai, she's over a Lois Haseh Yivam Alashuk Lesia Eishat HaMesa Chutzal Yizar. Yeah, so the question was, they asked him, if you'll pass him like Beis Hillel, what happens, what will Beis Shammai say for someone who did like Beis Hillel? What's the din with those kids? So the question is, L'may nafkamina, who cares what Beis Shammai will say? If you pass like Beis Hillel, why would they ask you, what will Beis Shammai say about Beis Hillel's thing? Yeah? Who cares? So the Gemara answer is, L'mifshir v'lad masak v'shos l'Beis Hillel. If we can work out what Beis Shammai will hold when there was an Isra Lav, if by someone doing like Beis Hillel, then that we don't know of any machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai in that aspect. So we can work out what will Beis Hillel say on something that they say is an Isra Lav. For example, someone who remarries his divorcee after she had married someone else. Yeah, what's the question? Mi karmina and kavachomer. Does the same kavachomer apply to her also? Ma almana l'choyin gadol sheni sura shama b'kol ben apogum. Just like an almana to marry a Kohen Gadol, even though it's only osur to one person in the world. Her son is Pogum, he's Ois Kohen, Ezushi is through a Shavu Bakol, so therefore the din of Masa Grishasa is also Shavu Bakol. No one's allowed to remarry their wife after they married somebody else. Isn't it a Kal V'Chomer that a child who comes from such a thing should be Pogum here wouldn't mean a Kohen, because he anyway can't be a Kohen because he's a Grusha, but that's the daughter couldn't marry a Kohen, yeah? Oy Dilma. Or maybe we can upstart the Kal V'Chomer. Mala Almana, she atzam is chalalas. The Almana who marries a Kohen Gadol, she herself becomes a chalala. So she can't go, she is now possible to marry another Kohen later on. Yeah? Whereas over here, still, she's not a chalala. Yeah? V'yamalahu, and so he answered, Tzoros, the first question you asked me about, what's the din about Tzoros, the Tzora herself, he said, Misyariani. Then I'm scared to say halacha like Beis Shammai because I don't want to end up with calling people mamzerim. And your second question about Bnei Tzoros, what's the din if the children, if they did like Beis Hillel, what will they say about the children? As ani mei lechem, I testify that they're not pegumim and they are kohenim gedolim and nobody's complaining about them. Okay, we'll leave it over here. Okay.